The Kyoto Climate Treaty takes effect today. That means more than 30 nations around the world will take steps to limit the amount of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases that they emit. The United States has rejected the treaty, but most nations in Europe have embraced it. NPR's Richard Harris traveled to England, a country that has one of the most ambitious goals under the Kyoto Treaty.
Climate change is not an abstraction to many people in Europe. Steve Howard reads global warming into a mild February day.
We're in St. James's Park, a beautiful royal park in central London, where we can see the blossom trees blooming probably significantly earlier than they would have been doing a decade or two ago.
Not only are the cherry trees starting to bloom, so are the daffodils and the crocuses. Howard, who heads a nonprofit called the Climate Group, says people notice.
As a nation of obsessed gardeners, we're really in touch with this. You know, we have calendars which say, you know, 1st of March, do this in your garden, and things are happening earlier.
It has been a mild winter, and it's easy to see why many Britons assume that it's part of a global trend. Big floods and a killer heat wave in Europe last summer add to the feeling. The Earth has heated up about 1 degree in the past century, and scientists attribute at least part of that to human activity. Howard walks to his nearby office. His company helps businesses find efficient ways of meeting their Kyoto obligations. There is a sense of urgency because, he says, many Britons now worry that climate catastrophes are looming.
London's a low-lying city. You know, it was already at risk of flooding. If we get one major flooding episode here, it's about a $60 billion event, you know, in the financial capital of Europe.
To reduce the risk of that, Britain has promised to cut its overall greenhouse gas emissions sharply in the next few years. That's a daunting task and a big political issue.
Order. We now come to the main business, climate change and the environment.
Last week, Parliament held a debate just about global warming.
Mr. Norman Baker.
Speaker, thank you very much. And it's a great pleasure to be able to introduce a debate on the very important subject of climate change.
No one was debating whether climate change is real. The object of this verbal sparring match was to see which political party can come out as the most aggressive on the issue, quite a contrast with what happens in the United States.
Despite the opposition from the United States and Australia and others.
The real action, though, is in England's industrial Midlands, places like Nottingham. A hopper train full of coal dumps its load at Ratcliffe-on-Soar, the second largest power plant in Britain. This one plant consumes 100 trainfuls of coal a week. Coal fueled the Industrial Revolution, which started here. Now coal is seen as a public nuisance. When it's burned, it produces a lot of carbon dioxide, the main culprit in climate change. If Britain is going to slash carbon dioxide emissions, something's got to change. And it's starting to, slowly. Engineering manager Henry Drake says they're in the process of installing more efficient turbines in this plant, which will ultimately increase its efficiency by 0.5%.
You may think that 0.5% isn't a lot, but this power station will burn up to 100,000 tons of coal in a week. So the large coal trains that you see delivering to power stations, we would have one of those less every 2 weeks.
The power company, E.ON UK, wants to burn less coal because the Kyoto Treaty has put a price on carbon dioxide emissions for the first time. So Drake says there's now an economic incentive to improve the plant. This project will pay for itself in just 3 years.
Without the expense of carbon, it wouldn't have been a part of our normal business. We'd have maintained it as good as it is.
As the experience at this plant suggests, Britain still has a long way to go to slash emissions. Automobile tailpipes in the UK are spewing out more CO2 than ever, and wind farms, which are supposed to be the linchpin of Britain's carbon-free energy plans, are encountering local opposition. All in all, Britain has not reduced its carbon dioxide emissions at all since the Kyoto Treaty was negotiated in 1997. But there is a new kind of business that's supposed to make a big difference. Britain is betting on it.
Anything about 39, I think I'd be interested in.
In the city of Coventry, Phil Gillam from E.ON UK runs a new enterprise that buys and sells permits to pollute.
What we're actually buying is the right to emit 1 ton of carbon dioxide in a year. And each member state, as we call them, so the UK, Germany, France, will each issue allowances to companies like ourselves, and then those who have more than they need will sell them to those that have less than they need.
31.75 on the weekend, 5.31.
The idea is, in a few years, the price of these permits will rise, and that will create much bigger incentives for companies like E.ON UK to reduce emissions.
The classic and relatively easy way of reducing carbon dioxide is to switch from burning coal to burning gas, because that halves the amount of CO2 that goes into the atmosphere.
But companies like this won't make that investment until they know that the gas plants will pay for themselves. Gillam says that will depend on the price of carbon emissions in the free market.
When you have a new scheme, it's very difficult to make those judgments.
About 12,000 power plants, factories, and refineries throughout Europe are getting carbon emission permits. This trading scheme should go a long way toward helping European countries reach their targets under the Kyoto Treaty. The United States government has taken a different road. It has rejected the Kyoto Treaty in part because some studies suggest it would be expensive. Instead, the U.S. is working to develop cleaner technologies. Back in London, Steve Howard from the Climate Group says the world will never get a handle on climate change without both technologies and the incentives to adopt them.
The U.S. industry is better than any at innovating and at bringing things to market, but they're not incentivized in their home market to do that. You know, this is the future we're looking at here, which is lower carbon technologies, more energy efficiency, different fuel sources. You need to incentivize U.S. industry to deliver that. And I think there's a missed opportunity. Hopefully it'll turn around soon.
If Steve Howard is right, Britain will lead by example and show that emissions trading provides a relatively painless way to cut back on greenhouse gas emissions. Richard Harris, NPR News.